بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله tonight we're going to cover three or four miscellaneous virtues of the Quran. And we start with a description of the Quran being like musk. So we have a hadith recorded by Al-Hakim al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. He records a hadith from Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. And he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The Quran is like a bag of musk whose mouth has been tied. If you open it, the fragrance of musk will exude from it. And if you leave it, it will be musk that is put away. This is the likeness of the Quran. If you recite it, it exudes, otherwise it is in your breast." So we apply perfumes, usually they're in glass bottles. But in the old days, when they would make musk from the gland of the gazelle, they would take that and they would crush it up and add some oils to it and let it ferment and sit for a while. And it would remain inside of a pouch. And you seal that pouch and you let it age for some time. And then when you're ready to use it, you could put it into bottles and whatnot. So here, the hadith describes the Quran being like a bag of musk. He says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "If you open that bag, the fragrance of musk will exude. It'll be very strong. And if you leave it, it will be musk that is put away. This is the likeness of the Quran. If you recite it, it exudes musk. Otherwise, it's in your breast." So this hadith is talking about two situations, two scenarios. The person who is reciting the Quran, where they use their tongue and mouth to articulate the letters, where the sound of the Quran is heard. Or the second person is the one who has memorized the Quran. For that person, it's like they have the musk, but it's tied up inside of them. So this is between the one reciting and the one who has memorized. So now we come to a question. You have reading the Quran from memory, or you have reading the Quran from the Mus'haf. Which one is superior? To recite the Quran from your memory, or to recite it from the Mus'haf? What do you think? From the Mus'haf? Does anyone want to say from memory? It is contextual and it does depend on the situation, but we have a lot of narrations which indicate that reciting from the Mus'haf is superior, and that is because by reciting from the Mus'haf, you gather between two acts of worship, reciting the Quran and gazing at the Mus'haf. So an act of worship that combines two actions is better than just one, and we have some narrations which speak about this. We have the hadith from At-Tabarani's collection, and it has a weak sanad, but it's cited from Aws ibn Aws, who relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A person's recitation of the Quran without looking at the Mus'haf is 1,000 degrees of reward, while his recitation of the Quran from the Mus'haf multiplies those rewards to 2,000 degrees." The weak hadith, but it's supported by other narrations, such as the other narration, which is also weak, from Amr bin Aws, radiallahu anhu, who says, "Your recitation of the Quran whilst looking at the Mus'haf is rewarded manifold times more than your recitation from memory, just as the prescribed prayer is superior to the voluntary prayer." This is recorded by Abu Nu'aym and others, with a weak chain, but you see a comparison here between the fard prayer and the sunnah prayer versus reading the Quran from the Mus'haf and reading it from memory. There's a similar degree of rank of one over the other. Now, in the Kitab al-Masahif of Ibn Abi Dawud, who we said is the son of Imam Abu Dawud al-Sijistani, he cites a hadith from Ibn Abbas, who said, "When Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu would enter his home, he would open up the Mus'haf and recite from it." That was the first thing he would do when going into his house. Likewise, Imam Ahmad records in his Kitab al-Zuhd from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, who said, I do not like that a day or night should pass without gazing in the book of Allah, and looking. And we have an athar from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who says, gaze frequently in the Mus'haf. We also have the hadith from Nafi', who is the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He was asked, what would Abdullah ibn Umar do inside of his home? And Nafi' replied, you cannot bear it. He would perform wudu for every single prayer, meaning even if he didn't break his wudu, he would still do it. And he would gaze in the Mus'haf between each prayer. So he's describing the ibadah of Abdullah ibn Umar being maintaining wudu and doing it for every salah. And in between each prayer, his focus was looking in the Mus'haf. Now Nafi' also relates about Abdullah ibn Umar that when he would open the Mus'haf to recite the Quran, he would begin with a dua. He says that when he would open the Mus'haf to recite the Quran, Abdullah ibn Umar would recite, he would begin by praying, O Allah, you have guided me, and had you willed, you would not have guided me. Do not cause my heart to deviate after you have guided me. Bestow upon me a mercy from your presence. Certainly you are the bestower. This is a kind of iqtibas from the ayah in Surah Ali Imran. لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. But that was his dua when he would begin reciting the Quran. Now, going back to the issue of which is superior, reading from the Mus'haf or reading from memory, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his At-Tibyan, reciting the Quran from the Mus'haf is better than reciting it from memory, because looking at the Mus'haf is an act of worship in itself. In this way, looking and reciting are combined. But he goes on to say that the virtue is contextual. He says it depends on the person. So you have some people who need to do muraja'ah, they need to review. And for them, reading from memory is a way of combining between two actions as well. Reciting the Quran and also reviewing what they've memorized so it's not lost. And it also depends on the person. Some people are more able to focus on the meanings when they're looking at the Mus'haf. Others are able to focus on the meanings when they're in prayer reciting from memory, or just sitting there outside of prayer reciting from memory. So it really depends on the person. If the person finds that they have more presence and focus reciting from memory, then that's superior for them. And if they have more focus reciting from the Mus'haf, that is superior for them. But all things considered, combining between two acts will always be superior to combining between doing one act. Now we're going to end tonight, inshallah, with something that is a very interesting virtue that is mentioned in all of the works on Fada'ilul Qur'an. And we preface this by mentioning that these narrations for this specific virtue, these narrations are all da'if, they're all weak. But as we've said many times before, when you're talking about virtuous actions, you can cite these hadith because they are supported by what is generally affirmed from the Quran and the sound narrations, as long as you're not saying emphatically that this was said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fact that the scholars put these narrations in their works indicates that they felt it important enough to mention them. And this virtue concerns some narrations which say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak or recite the Quran and it will be heard by the people in Jannah. That the Quran will be heard in Jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, as I said, this is a weak hadith, so you can't build rulings on it, and you can't have, it's not on the fundamental tenets of faith, so it is what it is. But I share these narrations with you for this purpose. Now, this narration is cited by Al-Hakim al-Tirmidhi as well as Abu Nu'aym al-Asfahani in Sifatul Jannah, both with a weak chain, bi sanadin da'if. And it's coming from Burayda radiallahu anhu, who relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it's a weak hadith, so we relate it as it is, yuqalu aw ruwiya annahu qala, indeed the inhabitants of paradise shall enter unto the presence of Al-Jabbar, the compeller, twice daily, whereupon he will recite the Quran to them. Each person will be sitting in their own exclusive seat upon pulpits of pearls, rubies, emeralds, gold and silver, according to their deeds. They will not be joyous about anything as they will about that, and they will not have heard anything more magnificent or better than that. Then they will return to their homes and their source of joy, blissfully happy until the same on the following day. This is one narration. Another narration is recorded by Al-Imam Al-Daylami in his Musnad Al-Firdaus from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, also in a weak hadith, in which it is related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it will be as though the creation had never before heard the Quran when they hear Ar-Rahman recite it to them on the Day of Judgment. So you take these hadith for what they are in the realm of virtuous action, and they're cited, and so we cite them with that caveat. And inshallah, we will stop here. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.